From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Islamic State defenders in Fallujah launched a counterattack Tuesday in the southern part of the Iraqi city in an effort to blunt an Iraq assault to retake the western city held by the Islamic State group for 2.5 years. The fierce fighting has raised alarm bells among international and humanitarian aid organizations about the fate of an estimated 50,000 civilians trapped in the city. Lisa Grand, Deputy Special Representative of the UN Assistance Mission for Iraq, said she's concerned about dwindling food supplies.
We understand that there are widespread food shortages, and there has been since January, when access to Fallujah became extremely difficult for commercial convoys. I think we would characterize this as is mass food deprivation. The shortages have resulted in literally thousands of families no longer able to eat 3 meals a day.
She also said some civilians appear to have been rounded up by the IS militants to be used possibly as human shields. Ivory Coast's former First Lady Simone Gbagbo went on trial in Abidjan Tuesday, accused of crimes against humanity and war crimes for her alleged role in post-election violence that killed around 3,000 people in 2010 and 2011. Gbagbo's supporter, Dagu Spouse Minsa, says, "What about those who murdered our parents? We are victims while the guilty," she said, "walk freely, and innocent people like the former First Lady are in prison." She appealed for real justice. The Ivorian government rejected an extradition request to try Gbagbo at the International Criminal Court of The Hague. Her husband, former President Laurent Gbagbo, is already there before an ICC and charges linked to the conflict. This is VOA News. The UN Refugee Agency Tuesday said more than 2,500 people have died trying to make the dangerous crossing from North Africa to Europe this year. About 600 more than the same tragic pace last year at this time. Nearly 900 have perished just in the past week alone, often in unseaworthy vessels operated by smugglers. More than 200,000 made it safely to Europe, escaping poverty and war in Africa, the Middle East, and South Asia. Since January, that's more than double the number who made the attempt during the same period in 2015. The U.S. government has issued an updated travel warning alerting U.S. citizens of the risk of potential terrorist attacks throughout Europe, targeting major events, tourist sites, restaurants, commercial centers, and transport. It expires at the end of August. John Kirby is a U.S. spokesman.
It was a renewal. You know, we have to do these every 6 months, so this was a renewal. Obviously, it would have come anyway, but we took the opportunity, since it's the beginning of summer, to make our concerns known about the potential risk of terrorist attacks throughout Europe, particularly when you've got, you know, the Tour de France starting up, you've got this European Football Championship, and of course, World Youth Day, all of which is happening in June and July.
Kirby said he's not aware of any specific credible terrorist threat and is based on an accumulation of information. Troops loyal to Libya's new UN-backed unity government claim to have captured a second town in as many days from Islamic State fighters as it tries to push the militants back towards Sirte. After overrunning Ben Jawad Monday, the Libyan forces recaptured Nafilia, located both near major oil terminals. Meanwhile, the UN envoy to Libya, Martin Kobler, has warned that the North African country cannot hope to defeat the IS group, also known as Daesh, unless the various militia groups unite in common purpose.
The fight against the Daesh must be first a Libyan fight, and it must be a united fight. I think nobody acting alone would succeed. That's why it's very important, and my constant message to all security actors, be them in the West or in the East, to unite their forces.
Mm-hmm. Kobler, speaking in Paris Tuesday, said the IS challenge requires a military solution, called for a unified command structure under Unity Prime Minister Fayez Sarraj. Pakistan says the body of Afghan Taliban chief Mullah Mansoor, killed in a U.S. drone strike last month, has been handed over to his relatives for burial. The decision followed scientific testing that confirmed the man killed in the May 21 attack was Mansoor. Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif underwent successful open-heart surgery in London Tuesday. According to his daughter, the 66-year-old Sharif, in power since 2013, is expected to remain at an undisclosed London hospital for about a week. Global stocks retreated in trading Tuesday ahead of a series of economic reports, including on U.S. employment and the prospect of higher U.S. interest rates. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.